Marty Lurie here with Bob Lurie. A fascinating story of getting the Giants and, of course, the keeper of the flame, so to speak, and keeping the Giants in San Francisco. You did get a general manager. You mentioned Speck Richardson. What about that?
Well, Stoneham was having financial problems. It was on the verge. So the league put Speck Richardson into the Giants. And if I remember right, the Giants could not spend more than, I think it was $10,000, without Speck's approval or the league's approval. I mean, the things were that tough. So I inherited Speck in 1976, and we got along very well. Speck was a different kind of guy, but he was terrific. He was a great friend, and he just, I mean, he would do anything that, you know, it was always very helpful. But my hesitancy originally was with the Oakland A's going to Denver, supposed to, and whether the Bay Area was a two-market team, and there's still a question about that. If you're winning, yes, that makes a big difference. And we had a dinner in San Francisco with Lee McPhail, people from the Oakland Coliseum, and they knew that Denver was going to go and we were going to have the market and whatever. Shortly thereafter, they said, we're going to lose the Raiders. The Raiders are going to L.A., so we have to cancel our agreement. So that was kind of a shock.
Well, boy, it's interesting you brought up that part of, because you're an owner in a financial market. You know, you have an investment. And on the other side of the bay, you have Charlie Finley. What about that?
Charlie Finley, again, was one of I mean, baseball has had a lot of characters, but he was really something. And I remember one just slight incident. We were in spring training, and the phone rings about, I don't know, 11, 12 o'clock at night. It's a collect call from Charlie Finley. And he was, I think, at his farm in Indiana. So that he had to call collect, you know, and talk about, you know, what would happen. And, you know, I think there was like $3 or $4 million raised between the league and the Giants and different entities to get him to move to Denver to sell. Right. And he was all for that. Yeah. And then things changed.
Yeah, that's right. They wanted him out. Vita Blue, and it's a big trade. Now, of course, 76, 77, you've got a team. It's developed. You got some pitching. You got Bob Knepper. You got Halicki, and count him on a Fusco. We'll talk about him in a second. But the big Vita Blue trade maybe was just such a major move for the San Francisco Giants.
And there, I forget the number. With your memory, I'm sure you'll
300,000 and eight players.
And I was going to say, I couldn't remember the number of players involved in the trade.
Yeah.
And you know, was it something to, you know, turn the club around a little bit and help?
Now, did you have to approve that?
Yeah. I thought it's fine, mainly, especially that first year. I relied strictly on baseball people for any decisions, and pretty much during my whole career, because they've had the experience, any kind of situation, and their knowledge of talent. Immediately think of Al Rosen, who that was one of my great friends and one of the most enjoyable experiences working with him. He, I believe, started in 85 and brought in Roger Craig, and that was an interesting story when we got him. But, you know, to appreciate what he did, because when we got Al, I said to him, I'm president. I'm going to make you president, and I'm going to become chairman. You're going to have all the authority you want. But when you have a great idea or any kind of an idea, let's talk about it first. I don't want to read about it in the paper, although you've got the authority to, because he could judge talent. And he also had a great business background, because when he got out, he was in the brokerage business in Cleveland.
That's right.
So he could read a balance sheet very well.
Yeah. Well, I liked Al Rosen. I liked Al Rosen quite a bit. But 78, well, you bring Willie McCovey back. How about that? That was a decision that you were involved with. It was a huge part of the Giants.
Oh, yeah. We were delighted. I remember, reminds me, when we got Willie, I'm just thrilled about it. And he said, well, I'd really like to have a suite on the road. And I said, Willie, happy to do it, except then I got to give 24 other guys a suite. You know, you want a suite, it'll be there for you, but you got to pay the difference. So that was a little bit of a problem. That bothered him. But we've become great friends. Saw Willie recently, a couple weeks ago in Arizona.
Yeah.
And he's just a super terrific guy.
But he was so well received coming back, because he had been in San Diego. And, of course, he went to Oakland for a while, and that didn't work out. But he really wanted to come back to San Francisco. And he had some big hits. He won some big games for you.
He had such great talent. So, yes, he did produce for us, and he was a great friend of the fans. Fans loved him. Yeah. He was a great draw. Yeah.
All right, so now it's 78, but 78's a good season. And you come pretty close in 78, and Vita always said, well, if we had a few people who had been there before, maybe we would have won. But the 78 team almost won the West.
That's right. It was very close.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, but I was, you know, really kind of disappointed. Well, my biggest disappointment was when we were in the World Series and we lose 4-0. And I've said many times, basically, I have not recovered from that. Yeah. So it's just, it was heartbreaking. And even the playoffs in 87 were a disappointment when we lost to St. Louis.
Yes. 87 up 3-2. And the sixth game, a great game. I think Dave Dravecki pitched the sixth game and lost a shutout.
And mentioning Dave Dravecki, one of the outstanding individuals.
Yeah.
And we both saw him last week in Arizona. Just a terrific guy.
Boy, so you saved the team, and now you have to run a baseball team. So, you know, this is a little different. And to run a baseball team, you have to have managers. And you went through a few managers, and, of course, you had Dave Bristol at one point, who ended up being fired. But the one that becomes interesting, really, is Frank Robinson. How did that happen?
Well, we were looking for, you know, a manager, interviewed, lots of reports about Frank, and we hired him, and I got a call from an American League owner who said, I understand you might hire Frank Robinson. That's a rumor. And I said, yes, that's true. And he said, well, you can't do it. And I said, why not? And he said, well, you can't fire him. And I said, why not? You know? Yeah. And eventually that happened. And I also felt it was my responsibility to do the firing, not the general manager. So I had that unpleasant task with all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, how was that? How, of course, baseball people and managers always talk about the toughest thing is telling a player he's released or sending him to the minor leagues. You had to fire managers. How was that?
It was not pleasant. Most of them remember Joe Aldabelli was a real gentleman about it, understood, appreciated the time, etc. It was in the winter meetings that I went to get Dave Bristol out of a meeting.
I remember that.
And probably the worst elevator ride I've had of a 20-some floors. I think we were in Texas someplace. Yeah. And do that. And we've become good friends, certainly in my opinion, I think we are, with Frank Robinson.
Yeah.
I flew to Cincinnati, and I was going to meet with him the next morning because the Giants were playing a doubleheader.
Okay.
And I called Duffy Jennings in the press box, and I said, ask Frank to come by because, you know, let's not wait. Let's get this done, because I had told Duffy. And he did. And Frank lasted less than a minute. I told him, and he said, okay, got up, walked out.
Well,
I mean, obviously, he was really upset, and I understand that, but it was just time to do it.
Yeah. Boy, what a story. Boy, it's a part of baseball we don't think about all the time.
You know, it's not good. But, you know, when things got better with Al Roseman and that, and Roger Craig, I mean, that was a great team. That really worked well.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Roger Craig a little bit, because Al got him, and Roger wasn't sure what Al wanted him to do, and he had to convince Roger to come aboard.
Well, when we talked about it, because Al asked me, he said, do you know Roger Craig? And I said, I knew him when he was with San Diego. And seeing him in spring training and great production. He said, well, I've heard a lot of good things about him, but I've never met him. So I was with the ball club in Houston. And we located, Roger was then, I think, a scout for Detroit, if I remember right.
I think that's right.
And he was in California, and we got him to fly out, and he came during the game, night game, and talked to him. You know, he was there on the pretense of just looking at the players, whatever. And the next morning, we spent 3 or 4 hours, and I said, I've got to get back to San Francisco. So, Al, your decision, whatever you want to do. So he called me later that day and said he wants a 3-year contract. What do you think? Is that all right with you? And I said, if you're satisfied, it's fine with me.
Oh, wow.
So that's what started it. And Al and Roger became very good friends. We all did. And he was terrific to work with.
Wow. What a great story. But what a thrill for you. It's sort of like a boyhood dream to be involved, right?
Absolutely. Now, we were there, had it 17 years. And people asked me about it, and I said, it's one of the great, I said, except for my wife, Connie, it's the best thing I ever did. It was just a fabulous experience, and I loved every minute of it. All the frustrations, the wins, the losses, the trades you don't make or the trades you do make and whatever. But the whole experience was just fantastic.
The Dodgers, now you're the owner, and now you and Walter O'Malley going at it, the O'Malley family. What was that like?
He was always very generous with his time, and he was very friendly and very supportive and happy to talk. If you had a question for him, he was happy to sit down and talk to you, whatever. So I really enjoyed having a friendship with him. I thought he was terrific.
It's fun to think back of the marketing of Candlestick, because Candlestick was something you had to deal with. The Croy, the Candlestick, the Crazy Crab. Pat Gallagher came up with some great ideas.
Pat, and I still see Pat quite often. He's just a great friend and really creative. As you mentioned, the crab and the quad candlestick. I mean, that became a badge of honor if you stayed for the 10th inning.
True.
That you earned one of those. I had Walenda walk across the stadium. Who I don't know. I've heard one story that he had a martini before and after doing that, walking in between doubleheaders. So there was a lot of, you know, looking for a lot of unusual, crazy ideas to get somebody to come in the ballpark.
You mentioned earlier in the conversation of doming Candlestick. I remember artificial turf was part of Candlestick for a while. What were some of the things to try to improve Candlestick?
Well, that was one that, you know, if it was possible. I forget the cost of that, but it was astronomical.
Okay.
And it just wasn't going to work, and it wasn't worthwhile. So there wasn't really a lot you could do. I mean, we moved the fences a little bit, brought that in. But, you know, it was a ballpark in a wrong location.
Yeah.
So that was it.
And you know real estate, so you knew that. Thinking back to Candlestick and just the experience of having the ball club, there were things that you wanted to do, but the world was changing. Government was changing. The idea of publicly financed stadiums, that was changing. And you sort of got caught in the middle of that.
We did. The reason that I really was ended up selling, we lost four elections for a new stadium, two in San Francisco and two down the peninsula. And that was really heartbreaking. One we lost was when the earthquake happened, and we lost by 1,800 votes. You know, a swing of 900, whatever. So, and it was a location of where the new ballpark is located now, and it's a fabulous ballpark. What they've done, I think, is just terrific.
Would you have moved to San Jose, I guess, if it was approved down there?
Yes.
Yeah, you would have, okay.
Definitely. First of all, you had weather in your favor. Really made a big difference. It was I think both of them were in Santa Clara.
Right.
We got a lot of bad publicity from people in San Francisco about possibly moving, and anyhow, that fell.
Yeah.
And we just decided enough.